Testing, testing.
I was appointed principal of Centennial Junior High School. There was not much of a problem with choosing a teacher from the junior high school at Durfee. As I remembered, I took all the Durfee teachers with me to Centennial Junior High School. Durfee grade and junior high school together had 36 faculty members the year before I went to Centennial. In 1930 and 31, Centennial opened 72 teachers from Durfee. 17 teachers from Durfee went to Centennial. In fact, that all the teachers at Centennial the first year had been together in Durfee made it easier for us to get started and organized. One of the problems we had was that there was no manual training, shop, or gymnasium. The boys had to walk to Centennial for shop regardless of the weather. If it was raining, they would wait in the Centennial until it slacked up. Both boys and girls had physical education in Torrance Park, which was a block from school. All other subjects were held in the building. One of the first things we did was to make plans of some kind to reward students who worked at their best level in school. After several weeks of discussing in and out of faculty meetings, we decided to ask the PTA to finance a banquet for those students who made an average of C for the year in scholastic grades and C in conduct. We would present the plan to the of the pupils to the PTA, and they approved. We presented the plan to PTA, to the pupils, together as well. They wanted to know what could be done if a teacher had to in for the pupil and gave him or her a lower grade. The passing grade, we told them, the grade would be an average grade of all the teachers. If they were not satisfied with the grade, they could take it up with the principal with the consent of the teacher. Needless to say, the plan proved to improve discipline in school. The PTA voted to have the banquet the next year. Construction of Centennial Gymnasium started early the second year. All of us watched its construction with a great deal of interest. The school spirit increased as time passed. The Daughters of the American Veterans of Civil War gave us a flagpole, and they furnished the flag for the first year or so, with the understanding that only the U.S. flag furnished by them be flown on the pole. Well, the second year in the school moved along smoothly. As we neared the end, we began to plan for the honor banquet. We had many pupils eligible for it that year, and we would have to crowd them very close together in the cafeteria. The idea, Bruce, was popular, that we wondered why we had not thought of it before. On the afternoon before the honor banquet in the evening, my secretary came down to the cafeteria and told me the newspaper reporter wanted to talk to me. I went to the office to answer the telephone. He asked me if I had a glossy print of myself. I told him no and asked him why he wanted it. He said I had just come from the board meeting of education and that they had elected me principal of the new Woodrow Wilson Junior High School. I told him he must be mistaken. He said, no, I am not. Well, I did not want to leave Centennial, but if I was appointed, I guess I had to go. I went back downstairs and helped get the table set. I did not say anything to anyone about the phone call. Although they were curious and wondered why the paper wanted a glossy print of me, well, there were tears in my eyes As I watched the happy faces of the Centennial Junior High School honor student. I had been a Centennial only 2 years, but I thought the school had a good start. Even today, I think of Durfee and Centennial as the two high spots in my life. Even though I had been made president of the Illinois Junior High School Association and then had my master's degree at the University of Illinois, I still felt that my training at Durfee was far superior to them. I felt and feel now that the first day of school at Durfee, when I asked the teachers to help the pupils in the right grade in the room, was the key to whatever success I had in the northeast end of town. Well, it was true. When the announcement of my appointment as Principal Woodrow Wilson, I had many compliments and some criticism about going from Durfee to Woodrow Wilson. I would soon find out that I could not treat children in the West End as I had treated them and children in the East End. I paid no attention to their remarks because I knew there was no use arguing. I joined the Decatur Kiwanis class while I was at Woodrow. Horace W. McDavid was the first international president of Kiwanis that Decatur had had. And he had a child at Woodrow Wilson, and he was a member of the PTA. The reason Mr. McDavid was president of the PTA was because two women were soliciting votes for their candidates. These two women had visited me to get acquainted with the new principal. They told me their activities in the dentist school and how they helped the principal with their problems. Well, the principal had warned me about them a few days before about them. In those days where there were more children in grades than for one class, we divided the pupils according to their grades. If there were enough pupils for three classes, I would take those with the best grades in one class, the next third in the second class, and the remainder in the third class. I would follow this plan for the first 6 week grade period and check again to see if any pupils needed to be changed. After school started at the end of the semester, I had the teachers and the pupils to help place them. But since I was by myself, I had to take their previous teachers' recommendations as much as possible. Well, to make their wishes known, they told me their youngsters were always placed in group one. I told them I did not recall which group their youngsters were placed in, but I would look and see. I looked and told them one of their children was placed in the third section, one in the second, and the others were in group three. The mother thought their daughter should be placed in the first group. They did not like it, and they wanted me to change them to the first group. I told them that was the way the sixth grade teacher recommended, and that is be where they would be placed. I told them if it improved the first 6 weeks and wanted to be changed, I would do it. They went away very unhappy. I met the husband of one of the ladies in the street in the next few days. 2 days later, and he told me to tell those women to keep their damn nose out of my business. These two children did not want to be moved at the end of the first 6 weeks. And I did not move them. These two women put forth their candidate for president of PTA. That is the reason I asked Judge Horace W. McDavid to run for the first president of the Woodrow Junior High School PTA. The problem of getting a faculty together was not a very big problem. Three of the teachers came from Oakland Junior High School as it was closed. Seven came from Centennial, other three from New, or were transferred from other junior high school. Anyway, we had a good faculty to start school the first year. We had the problem of getting acquainted and adjusting the clocks and the heat, as is necessary when you move into a new building. The playground was muddy, which caused a real problem. But we had a very fine janitor who did not complain too much. We did not have an auditorium or a gymnasium, which meant we could not have football or basketball team. But we did have dreams of having them both before many years. While we did not have a gym or auditorium, we did have a good faculty which seemed to be happy in their work. We had one large room on the third floor which was used for an assembly room. It was crowded, but we did not worry about that. At Christmas time, we could not do very much in the way of choruses or decorations. We looked forward to the auditorium, which was constructed in 1936. My, we were proud when it was completed. Well, Christmas was coming, and we were looking forward to a good Christmas program. But first, we had to get a stage curtain and some large candelabras. Mr. George Shandit, our manual training teacher, said he would make the 8 candelabras stands if someone would furnish the lumber. I took the money out of the funds we had from selling paper to the students. He made 8 large, 8-foot tall candelabra out of walnut. I hope they still have them at school. Mr. Bates, our janitor, was a good carpenter. He and Mr. Shandit made the scenery for a play which was called Why the Chimes Rang. The teacher trained the children in the speaking parts, and everything was ready when we had a rehearsal in school. When the parents came that night, the auditorium was filled to overflowing. The play was a success. I recall Reverend Pratt of the Westminster Presbyterian Church wrote a letter of appreciation for the play and meant it, and what it meant to him. The minister of the First Presbyterian Church said that such a play had no place in the school. Mm-hmm. That was one of the several good plays we had in the auditorium in the 11 years I was there. We had very good faculty, the math, English, music, industrial arts, homemaking, and so forth, were the best in the city. The pupils were fortunate to have such high quality teaching. The school work went along well with the 11 years. Only one teacher was asked to leave, and that was because one of the board members did not like him. There were some odd things that happened. One young lady came in and applied for a teaching position. She had an excellent qualification, was a beautiful girl. She was a former pupil from Woodrow Wilson. She started out by saying, "I do not want my mother to know that I have applied." I told her frankly that if her mother came over about the job, it would be a handicap to her. We talked a while and I said, "I think I will recommend you, but I'll wait and see if your mother does come over." She got the position and she was an inspiration to her students and a real treat to all of the faculty. Another unusual incident in class happening to a very large, a conscientious social study teacher. There was a major league baseball team playing in Decatur. Playing the Decatur team on a school afternoon. This boy I'm talking about was absent from school that afternoon. When he returned to school the next morning, his teacher asked him where he'd been and where was his excuse. Before he could answer, she said, "Now don't tell me your grandfather died," in a sarcastic voice. That was exactly what had happened. Mm-hmm. I thought all hell would break loose, but nothing was said about it from his home. The mm-hmm. teacher was really sick. I think some teachers took her place for a while. The Christopher Wren Tower on the building, the Woodrow Wilson, has a very beautiful tower on the main part of the building. The tower was mentioned in the newspapers as the outstanding part of the building. One day a parent came in on some kind of a complaint. We discussed his child's problem. He got mad, very angry and mad. And among the things he said about me, the school in general, was, well, what can I expect when the Decatur Board of Education will spend thousands of dollars on a Christopher Wren house on top of this building when there's not a damn Wren in the miles of here? To pass on to an assignment I was given by Honorable Charles Lee, Mayor of the City of Decatur in June of 1941. I was appointed to be chairman of the aluminum scrap drive, which F.A. LaGuardia, U.S. Director of Civilian Defense, required the governors of the U.S. district to have. Mr. Lee made the appointment, he was mayor at that time, appointment for Decatur. I believe this is about the time I was elected president of the Junior High School Association. I was called by the newspaper late in May and asked to make some comment about being appointed principal of Decatur High School. I told him I had no comment and that I knew nothing about it. To say I was surprised in no way explained my feeling. I wondered, what happens next? I had not applied for my teaching job in Durfee. Mr. L.M. Cole did it for me. I did not apply for the principalship of Durfee for centennial of Woodrow Wilson, and now I did not apply for it for the high school. I wonder what was going to happen next. Anyway, on July the 1st, 1943, I went to Decatur High School as principal. One of the first problems I had to face was that of assistant principal, Mr. Nelson. He said to me, I did not have the right to have the principal job, that it was his by right of length of service. I told him I agreed with him, but that I did not apply for the job, but if I were in his place, I would feel the same way that he does. He came back several times to tell me that I had his job. I finally told him, if he felt that way about me, I suggest he go somewhere else where he could be loyal to the principal. That I intend to put him back to teaching job if he stayed here. I could not afford to have an assistant principal who was not loyal to me. He secured another place in Lyons Township High School near Chicago, a much better salary than he had in Decatur. With that problem settled, I had to find another assistant principal. I chose C.S. Stigemeyer as a math teacher from Roosevelt. Junior High School was a very fine, capable organizer, disciplinarian, and gentleman. The enrollment in Decatur High School was above 2,000. The high school had 82 teachers, 10 janitors, and an engineer. To say the least, I was concerned about my ability to handle the job. Another thing against me was the fact that several years before I was appointed, another junior high school principal had been appointed and had lasted only 1 year. Most of the teachers were willing to cooperate with any principal who was appointed, but some teachers who had been at high school for a long time seemed to resent some instructions in the bulletins, and some were getting bad habit of saying, if you say so. Mm. That sort of thing went on for a couple of months. before I decided to say anything to the faculty meeting about what I thought was going on. There were several teachers in high school faculty whom I had had in junior high school. Several of the department heads came and talked to me about the problem and told me not to worry, that it would all straighten itself out. Well, I did not see it that way after I saw some teachers disregarding instructions in the daily bulletin. I decided to call a building meeting. In the bulletin, I said, important announcements, no excuse, the meeting will not be long. Unless you have something to bring up, be there. Well, the meeting came and I did not call a roll. But I saw that the ones that I wanted there were present. I told them that I realized that I was from the junior high school, that I had taught industrial art in the grade school only 1 year, that I had been an elementary junior high school principal for 22 years, but I had earned a Master of Arts degree from the University of Illinois, which is higher degree as 98% of the faculty had. I am saying this because I feel some of you want to get rid of me like you did Mr. Weedman. Now I want to give you notice now that I am principal of this high school and I intend to be here a long time. You may hear a good many things about what should be done, but remember, as long as I am here, I will fulfill my job as principal and run the school according to rules and regulations of North Central Association and Decatur Board of Education. I wish to apologize to you for being so blunt today, and beg your pardon if I have hurt your feeling. Meeting dismissed. Well, I wondered what the reaction of the staff would be. Everything went along as usual for a while. Then some teachers came in one or two at a time and told me the feeling of the faculty was loyal towards me. All of them said I had trouble with teachers in their department to let them know if I had trouble with teachers in their department. To let them know, and they would talk to the teacher involved. I realized that in a faculty of 82, janitor staff of 10, that there was bound to be some who did not like anyone who was in authority over them. The former principal of the high school and the staff had done their job well, which made my job easier. But changes were being made by the superintendent, which caused much concern among the teachers. Principals were required to evaluate teachers by a new method, which was called a growth pattern. The teachers filled out a pamphlet, one about herself and one made by the principal. And the principal made one out on the teacher. When the teacher and principal finished making out these pamphlets, they exchanged copies. A schedule had been made at the beginning of the work for each teacher to meet with the principal and discuss what had been written. This method of teacher evaluation caused a lot of unnecessary fear on the part of the teachers. After the conference, the teacher was given the principal's copy to keep, and the principal kept the teacher's copy for his report on file. Since I had two conferences with each teacher and the staff of 82 teachers, I had 164 conferences scheduled the last part of the second semester. I made my schedule and stuck to it. I could not have extra conferences with parents, visitors, and few teachers except in emergencies. The superintendent explained that I had refused appointments to parents on very important matters. I told him I had directed them to the assistant principal. I also said the administration had insisted that we do the growth pattern. He said other schools were not having trouble making growth patterns. Why should I? Yes, that's right. Some schools have only 8 to 12 teachers. Well, I have 82. Well, I did fill them out for 2 or 3 years. When I think the administration decided to have the teachers rated every 2 or 3 years. The growth pattern was the beginning of a sort of a new era of a course of activities in the school. The old close day in the spring was one of the things that gave the faculty a headache. About every year we said, this is the last one. Some of the rowdies were half-dressed and very destructive of poverty. Some of them jumped out the windows from the first floor and so forth. We ruled at the next faculty meeting not to permit it again. All faculty members said they would stand firmly behind the faculty ruling, and they did, and that was the last of the old school clothing there. And then one or two of the faculty members mentioned faculty meeting that some schools were having counseling departments. We asked if the University of Illinois could send someone to us to tell us about the services of counseling. And after we discussed it with him, I went to the superintendent, Harris, and asked if we might study it. He gave his consent, but later he would not let us have the extra teachers for the counseling department. The faculty kept the idea alive, and we were eventually given permission to try it on trial basis. It was not long until we had teachers with 1/2 class load of English or mathematics or science or industrial education or social studies. And and other loads, and 1/2 counseling. Now all high schools in the city have full-time counseling. One of the best moves that was ever made, I think. We had no vocational work when I first went to the high school, except a part-time distributive education, which was held among the retail stores. But one by one, after a great deal of effort, we were able to add some of these things to it. First of all, we were able to add a building trade to our vocational work. We were able to put into the Sunday bulletin, a Sunday paper, what is it, the rotogravure section of our plans and all for the house. This was copied by papers almost all over the country of what we were doing. Mm-hmm. And I was sent rotogravure copies of papers from Detroit and from Chicago, from the West. And we took that to the superintendent and said, now here's what the other people think about it. We'd like to go ahead with that. Well, with that, when we started that, I said, well, I'll think about it. We started vocational drafting. We started vocational electricity, vocational cabinet making, vocational sheet and metal, vocational building trade classes. We built 2 houses every year and sold them at a profit. The Board of Education sold them at a profit. We had automobile mechanic, vocational diversified occupation, and distributive education. We were able to introduce these vocational subjects because mainly that we got so much publicity when we started our building trade houses. Mm-hmm. using the building trade boys and selling the houses to pay the expenses for purchasing a lot and constructing the house. The building trade classes has constructed, and the Board of Education has sold 56 houses, which the boys have built since they started early in, I don't know what that is. I would say early in 1955. Mm-hmm. That's just a guesswork.
Mm-hmm.
Well, school settled down into a steady attitude where the teacher's attitude improved as time went on. One of the big even of the year, one of the big things of the year was the Christmas program, which is held in the Kittner Gym. We covered the gym floor with the canvas and placed about 500 chairs on the floor. I think we could seat between 4,500 in the gym this way. We always had a full house for the Christmas program. Miss Elizabeth Conard was the director of the program, and we had a seam at the close of the program with Christ in the manger. I remember she had George Allen when he was a little baby, my grandson, as a Christ child. A live child, kicking and waving his arms and feet, was very effective. She had a large group of angels singing in the background. The reading of the Bible was done in such a way that it was a highlight. The Christmas story seemed to mean so much more than usual. We were compelled to drop this Christmas program because the minister of the First Presbyterian Church led a movement to get the Board of Education to order me to discontinue it. His idea was the reading of the Bible in the public school and have a major scene was against the law. I fought it, but the Board of Education said no. Won't stop, I don't know.
Yeah.